You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns.
Welcome to Chakras and Shotguns, the podcast that guides you on a journey of spiritual development and personal preparedness. I'm Jen, a former lawyer, yogi, and human design lover.
And I'm Mick, a marketer, energy healer, and prepper. Are you trying to manifest financial abundance in your life but feel like you're hitting roadblocks? Maybe you're having difficulty sticking to the budget that you created? The challenges you're experiencing could be related to the lessons that you learned about money growing up. Today, we welcome Rashida Thomas, a financial wellness expert, to talk about how past money wounds can hamper us going forward. Stick around until the end of the episode, and we'll let you know how you can receive a free copy of Rashida's budgeting journal, Faith and Finances.
We'll get there in a minute, but we'll start as we always do with a breathwork exercise to put us into a mindful place. So go ahead and take a comfortable seat. You can always lie down. And let's get started. Let's place one hand on your belly and one hand on your heart. Take a deep inhale in through your nose, expanding your belly, pushing against your hand. And let's sigh that breath out through your mouth. Let's do that again, inhaling in through your nose, slowly filling your belly, your rib cage, and then finally your chest. And exhale that breath back out through your mouth, completely emptying yourself of all air, anything that you've been holding before we started today. Last breath together, inhaling in through your nose. And seal your lips as you exhale this breath back out through your nose. Now that we're aware of the breath, I'd like you to think about something that you would like to change in your life. Maybe you want more money, maybe you want to be healthier, maybe you want a new job. Whatever that thing is, go ahead and think about that situation that you're trying to change or manifest or create. Now we're going to do a little gratitude exercise. Can you find something in that current situation that you're grateful for? Maybe you want to invite in abundance. You just paid rent on the first, but feeling that feeling of gratitude that you're able to pay for your rent or your mortgage and live in the home that you have. Maybe you want to get healthier, maybe you want to lose weight, but gratitude for the body that you have that you're holding on to right now in this moment. Maybe you want a new job. Somehow find some gratitude for the situation that you're currently in. Allow that feeling of gratitude to just sink in. Imagine it washing over you from the top of your head down to your toes, sinking into you on a cellular level. As we sit in this vibration, this frequency of gratitude, it allows us to welcome in more things. More beauty, more joy. Take another deep inhale in through your nose. Feel free to exhale that breath back out through your mouth. Let's get into the show.
Nice. I felt that just pain rent. We are recording this on the 5th, so it's been a few days, but I'm still feeling that. That feeling. All right. So today we're sitting down with Rashida Thomas, a finance and tech leader who founded FinRose, a company that helps clients relieve financial anxiety and get on the road to wealth. Her journey out of debt and her mission with FinRose definitely resonate with me and Jen, and we're just really excited to have her here today. So thank you for joining us today, Rashida.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's get into it. I'm excited. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey, your financial journey, and how you founded FinRose?
Ooh, okay. It's interesting. I'll start with this. Like, literally, just last year, I changed my name, my business name, from Living in the Red Enterprises, which literally was rooted in lack, the naming convention, to FinRose. And just have seen the shift in my business. So I started my business out. I was blogging. I was back in 2012 when I made a transition from my hometown, St. Louis, to Dallas. I took a leap of faith and I was like, I'm tired of being in St. Louis. You know, I just needed change. And I took a leap of faith and moved to Dallas. I ain't had no job. And I just started blogging about, and I got on with a company, and probably about 3 months after the fact. So I just started about blogging about being a Black woman in corporate and navigating that. And it literally was called the Cube Life Chronicles. So I started with a blogging first. And then I started talking about student loans because I had a whole bunch of student loan debt. And I had friends around me that had student loan debt, and I could tell just how much of anxiety it was for us and trying to figure out how to navigate that. So I shifted to educating people on how to make steps to, you know, be able to contain it, still live life, but also work to pay it off as well. But then I noticed, like, as the years progressed, I was like, man, like, yeah, I'm making, you know, decent money within my career, but I'm still living paycheck to paycheck, and I'm just feeling very uncomfortable financially. And I'm like, what is this? And I just literally started seeing a therapist about my financial anxiety. And I was like, you know what? I'm sure I'm not the only person that's experienced that, because I was coaching, I had one-on-one clients, and I was focusing on the debt repayment, but you have to get to the story behind the numbers first. And so that's how I shifted into dealing with, like, financial anxiety and getting into the financial therapy modality and space. And, you know, that's where I'm at now within my business. Yeah.
I love that. So do you have a definition of financial therapy, financial wellness?
Yeah, financial therapy is a specialized form of counseling, and it's dealing with your relationship with money, and it's helping clients really get on the path to having a healthier relationship with money, feeling good about their money, not having anxiety in regards to the financial decisions that they're making, and getting to the root as to what is causing the anxiety. Getting to the root of, why am I, like, still in these debt cycles? Like, what's the root of it? Because a lot of times our relationship with our money did not start with us. So it's getting to the root of that and figuring out how it's impacting the financial decisions that we make and our financial well-being. Yeah.
So I heard this for the first time from you, this concept of a money wound. And yes, you were kind of talking about getting to the root of a problem that you have with money. I feel like it originates a lot of times with that money wound. So can you talk a little bit about what a money wound is?
So when you think about a wound, you think, like, ouch, like you think about some type of, like, a puncture or some type of penetration within your skin. But when it's talking about money, like, money is energy. So what has been penetrating your subconscious mind and whatnot? And have you developed these specific limiting beliefs around money that's stopping you to live the life of abundance that you desire? Mm. So addressing that wound, like what happened? Mm-hmm. What is the thing that happened that's causing me to not to have these limiting beliefs and not feel as abundant in my financial journey? So it's getting to that place when you think about room. And that, again, because money is energy.
Yeah.
It's energy and it's all around us and it's figuring out, okay, how can I not continue to scare it away? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I really feel good within myself and within my relationship with money?
Mm.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about the book that Jen read. Remind me of the title of it.
Eastern Body, Western Mind.
Yes.
Exactly. And in that book, it goes through the development of the chakras.
Yes.
Right. And I would imagine that just given the time period when money wounds form, that early part of your childhood, that is going to have an effect on those first three chakras, right? The root chakra, the sacral, the solar plexus.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about, you know, how you see that manifest in different clients or even yourself, like where you kind of had to do some work and which chakras to kind of heal some of those money wounds.
You know, you have to get to a point where you like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, like. I think that that point for me was back December 14th of 2019, and I was speaking and I just made it a mantra and I said, I am open to receive. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to say you open to receive, but then it took a few years for me to be able to embody that. And the work that I did in between allowed me to be able to embody that, to really start focusing on, you know, working through my money wounds. So when you talk about the chakras, like when I began my work, I started with the root. I started with my safety, like feeling safe within my body. But then that ties into your money as well. Your financial safety net is that starts within the root, and you feel it, like the tightness in your hips and like lower back pain. I mean, when you're having money issues, like you may potentially be having some lower back pain. That's where it's housed. Mm. So working within the root chakra first and start feeling safe and secure and just leveling the playing field and feeling more comfortable, and then getting to my sacral and trusting my creativity, because that's the creativity, that's the sensuality, like having that relationship, like we ain't just touch and go.
Yeah.
You know, like me, we dating, like we having a, you know, make it that type of experience, and saying money, I trust the money that's coming to me. I know it's not going to just be touch and go with money, like money and then the flow and the sensuality that's within sacral and feeling more comfortable with that. And the solar plexus is like, I know what I know, what I know. And I trust that.
Yeah.
And that's going to show up within your money as well, like honoring your no's, because if you're overextending yourself to people, that's going to show up within your bank account.
Yeah.
And so trusting your no and saying no is a complete sentence, and being like, okay, this is not within my budget, and knowing it's not tied to your worth, like how you show up for your family and friends is not tied to your worth. Like all of that ties into your money. So and that's why I'm solar. I'm in the solar plexus area, heart, lot of heart work, but it's just knowing what I know, what I know, trusting, honored boundaries is another thing coming within that solar plexus as well. And that throat chakra boundaries. And absolutely.
So Rashida, what I'm hearing, I think with the chakras, it's like you have to establish this safety that you feel first with money, right? That's in that first chakra. And I think a lot of people, especially in my life that I've been around, have not gotten past that. Like they're kind of still in that phase of trying to get to this place of, I feel safe and secure with my relationship with money.
Absolutely.
And then when I think about the sacral chakra and passion and having this intimate relationship with money.
Yes.
I think a lot about how there are a lot of folks who have a passion and they may not immediately see how that's going to translate to financial gain.
Absolutely.
And they let the world, their parents, tell them not to follow that passion because it's not going to give them the safety and security that comes in comes with money that you get in the first chakra, right? And so yeah. they will kind of move away mm-hmm. from that passion. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people in our generation who have done a decade in corporate America
yeah.
now moving away from that and saying, you know, I am going to go back and follow my passion.
Yeah.
But now when they get there, they're scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have that safety and security that they're looking for. So it's almost like they have to go back mm-hmm. and relearn that
yes.
by doing some root chakra work. And that's where I find myself. So we'll talk about that a little bit later okay. when we talk about my session okay. that I had with you.
Okay.
But I just was, as you were talking, feeling mm-hmm. that. And then eventually you can get to that solar plexus where you have the self-confidence and you like
yes.
owning and knowing what you know, right? So
yes.
there's a lot of work there that you kind of have to do to work your way up there.
It is. And be gentle with yourself. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, who has taught us this?
Nobody.
Right. No, like, who has taught us this? So we have to, and that's part of it too, like being gentle with yourself mm-hmm. within your financial journey. Like, a lot of our financial education just came from, you know, seeing what mom and dad did or whomever raised us. Mm-hmm. And it might be, you might see a little budget here and there. You might see them balance a checkbook every now and again. But it just, we didn't get all, so we're still walking through this and discovering this and whatnot. So we have to be gentle with ourselves in regards to our relationship with money and our financial journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that you dig a lot deeper and it feels like money medicine in a mm-hmm. sense, mm-hmm. you know, like people talk about Western medicine. They're just treating the symptoms. They're mm-hmm. not getting to the root cause. We yeah. know that like, on a spiritual and emotional level that can manifest physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about like those old Dave Ramsey teachings and it always seemed like he wanted to suck all the joy out of you.
Mm.
Like it was like, don't do anything fun. Don't right. do this. Like cut costs. And it was, and just thinking about the chakras, like you're shutting your whole sacral down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's rooted in lack.
Yeah.
That's literally like, reduce. Your body gonna contract. Like that's rooted and that's bringing in that lack. Like we are expansive beings. Like money is expansive. We want to feel expansive about our money. So if we reduce, contract, then how do you expect your bank account to look then?
Mm-hmm.
Like all of that ties together. And I mean, that's a beautiful point that you made. In regards to that and, you know, why I shifted from that. I mean, in regards to some other problematic things that occurred, but I was like, no, I still want to live life. Like, I understand I have this debt.
Yeah.
I understand I have this debt. That's fine. But I'm still going to be living an expansive life. I'm not going to live a life of restriction. My budget is not going to feel like a restriction. Because a lot of times when we talk about budget, people think it's about restrictions and it's just telling your money where it's gonna go literally so we're not doing that yeah.
So we're talking about budgeting. You also mm-hmm. talked about embodiment, which is something that I've been trying to do, where you embody mm-hmm. I'm embodying the djinn that I want to be, the djinn that's a boss that makes boss decisions. And I've also heard about scripting, like writing out what this person looks like, what they do, what they wear, and really start living that life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I am embodying that djinn, I'm making a business decision. Like I bought some furniture for my Airbnb this time around,
mm-hmm.
and I went ahead and opted in for them to bring it inside, unpack it, take all the boxes out because I don't want to deal with it. My time is worth more than that. But that was $250 and I'm way over budget. And at the same time, I'm supposed to be a good custodian of my resources. So how do you balance spoiling your money and loving on your money in an energetic way, embodying the abundant and wealthy person that you want to be mm-hmm. and being responsible, I guess, and what does that even mean? But just like being a good custodian.
I would say, and I want to go back to when we topped off the episode and you say you're a future yoga teacher. You already a yoga teacher.
It's so already done.
It's already done. But that's the energy that we embodying about our money. It's already done. Mm. You just working to collapse the time for it to physically show up. So with you just the certificate, finishing the trainings, whatever that may be. But Jen is already a yoga teacher. For us, financially, I already trust that this has already happened. We just collapse in the time for it to show up within our bank accounts. Mm. And just thinking of money in a circular manner. And so, okay, I'm going to circulate this $250 to, you know, get them to unpack and assemble this furniture. And I trust that money is going to come back to me. So you were utilizing that money for a resource within your business. And so trusting that, okay, I'm going to utilize this $250 to get them to unpack this furniture and do what I need to do. And you could be utilizing that time because your time is money too.
So as you were talking, this idea just kind of came to me, you know, money is energy, as you say, yeah. Right? And we have this illusion that we are all individual and that we are not part of the oneness of the universe, right? And
right.
So when we're moving, transferring that energy from our physical body to someone else.
Yes.
We see it as like loss, as like we're like somehow like losing something.
Right.
Right. But really we're just moving it to a different part of the oneness of ourself.
Absolutely.
Nah, I know that that's a little bit out there.
No, it's not.
But as you were saying, that's just what popped into my head. I'm like,
I love it.
We're just moving. It's like moving energy, moving money from your left hand to your right hand.
Literally. That's good, Mick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like when we was talking earlier about rent, we just circulating the money and trusting that it's going to come back to us so we can do it again next month. And it's that circular motion because you circulating the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I'm sure somebody listening to this like, oh, that sounds all good and well. Yeah. But I got this rent that's going to be due real soon. How do I deal with that, right? Like, so what are some things that people do when they like come to you and they're working with you, they're having sessions, like how do you kind of get folks, or what are some of the things you do with them to help heal some of those money wounds and get them to that place of abundance?
Well, when you start to feel uncomfortable with money, you have to go into what version of you is showing up. And going back to, is it you at 4? Is it you at 8? Is it you? Is this teenage version of you? Is this you just last year? Because I know I had to talk to myself in my, so like last year when I transitioned out of corporate, I was talking to myself just a year from that time frame to let her know that you're okay. Going back to talk to my 20 something year old self when entrepreneurship didn't necessarily work out at that time, and letting her know that it's okay and that it's going to work out during that time. So when you're feeling that anxiety, it's like, okay, who is showing up right now? Okay, so what do you need? What was the wound that we may have been exposed to? What happened? And just, you know, working through that and saying, thank you for coming through. I see you. I love you. I honor you. Because they just want to be seen. They just want to be heard, that version of you, and to be knowing that it's okay. Because you're taking all the versions of you with you. So they got to be on board too.
Yeah.
And they're going to let you know. Because that's what comes up when we feel that, like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you looking at your bank account. You like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, what version of me is showing up that I need to potentially talk to today?
Yeah.
I love that your work, Rashida, is not bypassing what you're feeling.
Yes.
That you're honoring it as it comes through.
Yes.
Because there has been, and I know Mick will get into it from his perspective, but us both going on this entrepreneur journey and moving to California, which is more expensive than Texas, a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out, how do I feel the fear, honor the fear, understand it, and then transmute it and push it into something else. Because I think sometimes people are like, I'm not afraid. And they just like won't let themselves feel the feelings.
Right.
And then it ends up biting them in the ass later. So,
right.
So I love that it's just like, especially the inner child work, and even acknowledging that you can be talking to yourself from a few months ago, from a year ago.
Yes.
that it's not always about the scared 7-year old.
Right.
And honoring yourself is like, hey, I was scared 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's who's showing up today.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that it's a good segue for me to talk a little bit about my experience working with Rashida. So I'll give a little bit of a context, kind of condensed. We've talked about it in past episodes, episode 1 and episode 53, I think more recently, where we kind of talked about some of the things that have been going on with me and Jen's kind of personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
But quickly, just to summarize some of that, if you want the full context, go back and listen. We moved here last year, and at the time, we had a pretty good amount of savings. We moved from Dallas to Los Angeles, as Jen mentioned, going from much cheaper city to one of the most expensive cities in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen quit her job, which, you know, was definitely supporting the family. I had gotten laid off during the pandemic and started my own marketing consulting company that was getting off the ground and had some decent traction, but wasn't bringing in the same salary that I was making previously in corporate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then we got here, Jen quit her job, we're living off savings, we're trying to get the real estate business that Jen, you know, has started on off the ground. And then we kind of got hit with a bunch of just like curveballs that we were not expecting. We had, you know, our youngest daughter had a couple ambulance rides. We were trying to sell our house back in Dallas to bring in some more money. And that was taking much longer than we thought. And we had to put some more money into repairing it. There was issues with our landlord here. We had a malfunction in some of the appliances and we had ants crawling in the house. So all this mess kind of going on at once.
Yeah.
That really, I think, slowed our growth in terms of being able to put the time into the businesses that we were, you know, starting and getting off the ground here.
Yeah.
And so I think that delay allowed for more of our savings to be spent faster than we would have wanted.
Yes.
Throw in some other random emergencies, car repairs that were needed. And we're in this place where we don't have that steady paycheck. Our savings are going down. And the safety I felt when we first moved was starting to dwindle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I realized in that I had some money wounds that I needed to deal with and assess. And it wasn't until we got to that place where I didn't have a job that was bringing in six figures and, you know, the paycheck every 2 weeks and didn't have that fat savings account to where that started to get exposed, right? And I was like, ooh, I got some work here. I was talking to Jen. I was like, Jen, I got some deep things I need to solve. I was like, I need to call Rashida. Like, we're going to have a session. And Rashida got me together, y'all.
Oh,
Rashida got me together. We went in and she talked a little bit about it. We got into specifically how my relationship with money developed as I kind of aged.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically some things that came up. My dad, he worked in the oil and gas industry in Houston, and it was very boom or bust, right?
Yeah.
So when oil prices were high, lots of opportunities, lots of great jobs. But then during some of those recessions, when the oil price of the oil barrel dropped, lots of layoffs, right?
Right.
So I think my layoff, I was triggered by his layoff, right? But I had it was almost like a delayed reaction to it because I still had my wife working and still had some savings. And so like once that started dwindle, I like felt myself being in the same place that my dad was in when I was younger. And I remembered all of those emotions that he was kind of reverberating around the building. And I was a child, so I didn't like fully understand it, but you know, we can feel energy.
Right.
And so that anxiety that he was having was like showing up for me. And yeah, we had to work through some of that, didn't we?
We did.
Didn't we? So if you want to just talk a little bit about like how you work with people in those situations, and like you can even talk a little bit about, you know, our session together and how we work through some of that.
I just want to tell you again, thank you for trusting me.
For sure.
I don't take that lightly at all. So within our session, in sessions that I have with my clients, I just start off with like taking some breaths so you can release wherever you were in that day to begin with, to be able to settle and get into that mind frame. And then also I go into, okay, so what is your earliest money memory? And that's kind of how we started getting into some of the things that you were just talking through in regards to your dad in certain situations. And those were core money memories.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting the dot between those core money memories and how that's showing up for you, the version of Mick today.
Yeah.
And then it's also releasing, like, this is my dad's stuff. Mm. It's not mine. And I send that back to him with love because this is not my journey. Mm-hmm. And you releasing that energy and releasing that because it's not your stuff.
For sure.
Because as we were talking about earlier, like as children and we're developing and whatnot, we don't have the emotional capacity and the energetic capacity to be able to shield ourselves and release like we do as adults now. So you weren't able to shield yourself for the, you know, the emotions that was coming from your dad and all this kind of stuff in the certain situations that attributed to money wounds and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But now you can release it and send it back with love because it's not your stuff.
Yeah.
And so we work through those money wounds and then, you know, releasing that back with love and then understanding how it's showing up and then saying, okay, so what's my current situation right now? Mm-hmm. What are steps that I can take right now to really have a healthier relationship with money and a financial well-being? Like, what am I saying about my money situation right now?
Yeah.
What are the words that's coming out of my mouth? So for instance, if, and this was not you, but you know, if you're saying you broke, then what are you like, that's how it's going to show up in your bank account. So what are the words you saying about money right now? Mm. So it's going to the core money memories, how this connecting current decisions, what are you saying about money right now? How are you feeling about money right now? And then it's going back to that scripting. So instead of saying, I want, saying, what is it that I desire? What is my future self like also talking? So like we talk to our inner child, we talk to the previous versions of ourselves and that's fine. But do you talk to your highest self? Do you talk to your future self when you're making like big decisions and things of that nature? Like, what would this version of future version of Rashida do? Mm. What would this future version of Jen and Mick, what would they do? And just figuring out, okay, what, just honing into that as well. Mm. And understanding, what does abundant living look like for you? And saying, okay, this is what I desire. I desire to have a duplex, a triplex. Mm. Within LA. I desire to have a home in Central America. I am open to receiving that with ease. Mm. That scripting.
I am open to receiving that. That's the part right there I want to just kind of highlight and underline. Yes. Because I think I've had to do a lot of work with that.
Yes.
I think the mentality of getting it out the mud on my own.
Yes.
Is something that is not just something that's present in me, but a lot of folks, particularly yes. in our community, our generation, yes. we feel like we have to do it on our own.
Yes.
And getting to the point where I can receive help and yes. receive even help from the universe, right?
Right.
Like just yesterday, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found a random check from this. It was like an airbag settlement on my car. Like 200, like 200 bucks, just in the mail. Just, I don't even know how they got my new address because we haven't been here that long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm just, you know, just attitude of just being open to receiving, I think is yes. what's inviting a lot of these random occurrences of money that we've experienced in the last few weeks.
It ain't random. It's like once you say I'm open and mm-hmm. you working through certain things, it's going to be like, oh, I can trust you with that. Boom. Mm-hmm. Boom. They mm-hmm. open. Like mm-hmm. Open up that pathway. Mm-hmm. We're not blocked anymore because these wounds can turn into certain blocks. They can turn into energetic blocks when it comes to money.
Yeah.
So it's clearing that out. And now, oh, I'm open. Like, boom, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get this $200 check and then practicing gratitude. Gratitude for this $200 check that came in the mail, mm-hmm. even when I'm not sure how they got my address.
I feel like, you know, getting into this episode, of course, there's maybe different episodes, like the obvious episodes we could point to, like our manifestation episodes.
Yeah. Mm.
I'll put those in the show notes, but also go back and listen to the time episode because collapsing time and everything is happening all at once, like our perception of time. I don't think I really thought about it when it comes to money.
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that was huge. I got some work to do myself. Rashida, if people want to work with you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram, Rashida S. Thomas, And then also follow me on LinkedIn, Rashida S. Thomas, and my website, RashidaSThomas.com.
Okay.
Awesome. Before we go, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we want you to have the opportunity to win a free copy of Rashida's book. So go to the link in the show description and enter your email address. We will announce the winner at the end of June.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rashida, for being on the show today. And finally, if you're loving the show, please subscribe and give us 5 stars wherever you listen.
Namaste.